Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Should see many, many happy faces because this is a new year.
Amen.
New year means a new beginning, a new start, and then wanting to be better this new year. We want to welcome all the visitors. We're happy you're here and joined us for worship this morning as we strive to worship in accordance to God's pattern that we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And glad to see Jean, your daughter. Happy you're here. You know. So we're happy to see all your visitors. We want to welcome all of you. It's not often that the first day of the year will begin on the Lord's Day. Not very often. And so this is special to me from the standpoint that we can begin this new year, 2012, with all of us gathered together to worship Him and to show Him our reverence and our praise is great. And hopefully that with that reverence and with that awe as we worship Him this morning, that we'll carry the same attitude, the same feeling throughout this whole year. That we'll show respect and honor to the Father who is in heaven, the Creator of the heavens and the earth, and through His love and mercy and compassion had sent His Son upon this earth to die upon the cross, to be raised from the dead on the third day, and then, of course, 40 days later, ascend into heaven and sit down on His throne. So to me, it's a special day, more special, yeah, because of the fact we can look at the rest of the 365 days and we begin with it, with our association and our fellowship with the Father who is in heaven. The Apostle Paul always felt a sense of not finishing his duties as one that was sent by God to carry out the gospel to the whole world. He had stated and called for the elders in Acts, the 20th chapter, for the purpose of warning these elders in regard to the false teachers that will come into the church in Ephesus. One of the things that he said to these elders is, I must finish my course. So there's a course for him to run. And he ran that course tirelessly. And he ran with endurance and persevering in reaching out for the goal that was set before him, and that goal of pleasing the Father and the Son while here upon the earth so he can receive the crown of life when the time of his mission is over here. So I want to look at three important points of what makes this Apostle Paul faithful in the discharge of his responsibilities as an apostle and as one, a servant of Jesus Christ. Looking at those three basic principles, I can use those three principles as I start each day for the rest of this year in fulfilling my course and in fulfilling my responsibilities as a member of the Lord's Church, as a citizen of the Kingdom of Christ, as well as a Christian. He felt that he was a debtor. And he says, I'm under obligation to the Father in heaven. And to fulfill that obligation, he had stated, I want to preach the gospel to all that I come across. That's found in Romans, the first chapter. And so I read all over again this Philippians, the third chapter, in which not only did it say, you know, I count my life as well, not being complete, but stretching forward to the things that are set before him, before me, he says, I will lay aside the things that are behind me and press on towards the goal that is set before me. He says, I've not yet obtained it. I'm not yet perfect, but I keep on pressing in all because of the fact that Christ had laid hold on me. And because Christ had laid hold on me, he had stated this in several places to young Timothy, and he had said it also over here, I want to take hold of eternal life. He told young Timothy, Timothy, I want you to fight the good fight of faith, and I want you to grab hold of eternal life. And the word grab and take hold means I will seize it. I will seize it in such a way that I will not release my grip in regard to what is eternal life. And so I look at these three things as we go along, and maybe you can use these three as a guide for you as you walk the Christian life in this year. Look what he says. He says, one thing I do. That's what he says in verse 13. I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do. There was, on the part of the Apostle Paul in regard to his life, a singleness of purpose, a concentrated effort on the what he wants to accomplish and what he wants to do, as well as being able to gather all of himself, his fullness, his body, his mental abilities, all his thoughts, all his energies in regard to one thing that I do. There are no distractions, or he didn't allow any distractions to deter him or to cause him to veer away from that one course that he wants to finish and finish it completely. And then he said this in 2 Timothy 1, you know, I've kept the faith. I fought the good fight. And then he says, I finished the course. That's what you and I need to do. Lay out a course designed by God, even as the Ephesian letter says, that I must walk according to the works that God has designed for us, and that's found in Ephesians 2:10. And so I have a course to follow. I've got a way in which Christ has said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, no one goeth to the Father or cometh to the Father except by me. So I've got a way, I've got a path, I've got a course that I must run and I must finish in order that I can have eternal life. Lack of focus, and I follow sports and I follow, you know, I like sports. Lack of focus has caused many teams to lose. Just a slight turn of the head had caused a golfer to shank his ball when he tried to hit it without keeping his eyes on the ball. Lack of focus in the sense of a wide, well-known wide receiver when the ball was thrown to him in the football game. When he turned his eyes and started to run even before he caught that ball and he lost that ball. Lack of focus in regard to the Christian life is the same thing. I need to keep my focus because there are three dangers to that lack of focus when I lose my concentration in regard to looking out at Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. The first danger in regard to turning my eyes away from Jesus Christ and turning away from the goal that is set before him, he stated in the book of Hebrews in the 2nd chapter, in which the writer of this book of Hebrews had seen this as the cause, one of the causes, of why the Hebrew Christians had fallen away from the faith or is beginning to fall away from the faith. This is what he said. For this reason, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from it. If the word spoken through angels and every word spoken that is proved unalterable, every transgression and disobedience will receive a just penalty, then how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Two words I hear that's used over here that can cause me to veer from my purpose of pleasing the Father in my life as a Christian. Those two words is drift. One is drift. We must pay closer attention so that we do not drift away from the word. The second word he uses in regard to this danger is a danger of which I would neglect so great a salvation. Drifting and neglect with one danger, two dangers that I have to be able to face and not cause myself to drift away from the word. And that can happen to each one of us. That's the one danger. Two words in one danger. In Galatians 6, 9, and 10, there's another danger of which I can lose my focus, you know, on Jesus Christ and on my life as a Christian. In Galatians, the sixth chapter, this is what the Galatian writer wrote and said this in verse 9 and in verse 10. The one who is taught the good word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Now look down in verse 9. Let us not lose heart in doing good, because in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So often we tend to you know, use an excuse and say, I'm tired. So when we use the excuse of why go to worship, because we're doing the same thing every first day of the week, and yet we are commanded not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So often we even get tired, some of us get tired, in regard to our fellowship with fellow Christians. Yeah. So often these are the things of which I become tired of, but this one, in this passage of Scripture, he's not talking about being physically tired, although that's part of it. It's becoming spiritually tired of the responsibilities and duties that I have as a Christian. You see, in the book of Hebrews, the 10th chapter, I always will have this responsibility in my relationship with one another as members of the Lord's church or as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. He said in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promises faithful. He tells me, let us consider to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. And he also says, not as forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I mustn't get tired of wanting to encourage one another in the holy faith. I mustn't grow weary in doing the things that I am commanded to do in regard to my being a member of the Lord's body and in contributing to that growth of that body in love. And yet we do get tired. And that's one of the signs of our tiredness, our spiritual tiredness in regard to our relationship, is when I start missing worship with one another as we worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the second danger, of growing tired of doing that which the Lord commands me. I've got this one more danger that I saw and read when I researched this lesson that I want to present. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, this is what he also says. He says in verse 35, therefore, do not, he says in verse 35, throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. You have a need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. And later on, he says, we are not of them that shrink back, yeah, but we're those who will keep with endurance and perseverance this thing about walking the way that Christ wants us to walk. I tend to lose confidence sometimes, and you tend to lose confidence when you see, when I see anyway, in my particular case personally, when I read articles of the changes that's going on within the church that Christ built. And so I look at it from the standpoint of why a church is beginning to make some changes in worship, in organization, in regard even to fellowship. And so when you read those things, you tend to say to yourself, like I do, why are we not holding fast to the word of which Paul had stated to young Timothy? You hold fast the pattern of sound words in 2 Timothy and 1 and 13. So when you look at those three things, which can prevent me or causes me to lose focus and to lose concentration in regard to my life as a Christian, the danger of drifting, the danger of drawing weary, and the danger of losing confidence. Those three are dangerous things in your life as a Christian. I think the second thing of which Paul is saying, not only must I have a singleness of purpose, but in order to maintain the singleness of purpose, this is what Paul had stated in this book of Philippians, that I will forget the things that are behind me. All right? Look at it. I'll forget those things that are behind me. He is not talking about the things that will help you to continue to live the Christian life, but he's helping you. He's telling you to forget those things that will cause you to falter. They will cause you to be hindered. They will cause you to stumble in your life as a Christian. You see, in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, going back to Hebrews, the Hebrew writer had told his Hebrew Christians, for you to be faithful, he says, remember. There are certain things he tells these Hebrew Christians that you remember. What do you remember? He said, remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings. You partly being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, partly by the coming sharers with those who were so treated. You showed sympathy to the prisoners, accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one. And so the Hebrew writer has said, don't forget everything, but you forget those things that will hinder you and cause you to stumble in your life as a Christian. The Hebrew writer had stated in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, that you run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. But what did he say? You lay aside any excess baggage. You lay aside any sin that is besetting sin that will cause you not to run with patience that is race, that is that you are running as you look forward to reaching your goal in Jesus Christ. See, the things that hinders and the things that entangles me. And so when I look at what he says, I'm forgetting those things that are behind me. What are the things that tend to make you failure or make you falter in your race? One is you're brooding over past mistakes, past decisions, past failures in last year. Yeah. We do that. Now, why did I do this? Why did I make this decision that now has a lasting effect on me? Yeah. And so I brood over it because I lost something in the wrong decision, the wrong mistake that I made. Yeah, I think that's a wrong way to say wrong mistake. Is there a right mistake? No, there's all right. But the mistakes, you know. And so when you look at that, I will brood over those things, and it will quench my hope, it will quench my improvement, because I tend to look at my failures and my mistakes. I need to lay aside those things as with what this Hebrew writer is saying, and I need to do what Paul is saying. I'm forgetting the things that are behind me. We all make mistakes. That's true. We all fall in doing the things that we didn't want to do, and then we do it because of bad decisions. We all do it. But that doesn't mean that I need to brood over that, worry over that, because that's already done. What I need to do now is make those mistakes, make those decisions, and try to make it as right as possible. That's the solution. Not brood over it. Not mourn over it. Not beating you down with those things so much that I can't perform my responsibilities and my duties. I need to do that. But there's another thing that I need to forget. My accomplishments. I can't live on my past accomplishments. I can't brag about my past accomplishments in a way that I'm saying that, I've, you know what, I did all of this. I won this award. I won this prize. See what I'm doing? It won't get me anywhere. I was in sales for quite a long time. In fact, it was the job that I had for a long time. When the year ended, we look at our goals that we set. We look at the things that we want to accomplish. But whether or not I made my goals or didn't make my goals, I need to forget what happened in the past year. So often we look at ourselves, in my case as a salesperson, well, I've made my goal. Yeah. I wanted to do 10% more last year. I did 10% more. And so I can gloat over it. I receive an award for it. I was given a trip to go to the mainland and all of those things that I have, go to Mexico and all those things because I made my goals. And yet, always when the first day of work comes along, the manager would say to me, Ben, what are you doing this year? He forgot all that which he did already. Yeah. Now he's concentrating on the fact that, what am I going to do now, this day, and from this day forward, you know, what I'm going to do. Because if I dwell upon what I've received in awards and in trips and things like that, will not get the job done this year. Never. When I say to them, says, hey, look what I did. I got honored by the company. See, the same thing is true in regard to the Christian. I don't gloat over my faithfulness in the past. What I'm looking for is whether or not my faithfulness in this year will increase. Whether my duties as a Christian this year will be more than what I did last year. I may have accomplished like I do in sales, that I made my 5 or 10% increase last year, but the manager will tell me, you know what? What you accomplished last year is your standard now, and you need to make more than 10% for this year. What I accomplish becomes a standard. Now he wants me to do 5 or 10% more this next year, you see? Never stops. And that's one of the things I learned when I was in sales. The fact of, you know, what you accomplished last year doesn't get you the prize for this year. I got to work all over again and do what I'm required to do to do it. See, when I gloat and when I dwell upon my past accomplishments, what it does this. It creates arrogance on the part of that individual who thinks only about his accomplishments of the past. And when it creates arrogance, it will hinder the growth and the development of that individual. That's what it does. I see it in sales, and I see it in lives that we lead, you know, we live every day. All right? I must also forget, yeah, dreaming of the great joys that I might enjoy. I must forget that. Dreaming will not do it. I can dream, I can plan, I can purpose, like what James, the 4th chapter, says, you know, if any man wills, we shall be, if God wills, rather, we shall both do this or that, and then we can go to the next city and trade and get gain. That's in James 4:13, right? God becomes my partner. God becomes my fellow worker, as God had stated in 1 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, we're all fellow workers with God. And therefore, if God is my fellow worker, then I need to consult him and go in accordance to the way he wants me to do things, what James had stated to these two businessmen, if the Lord wills, you do this or you do that. Because what is your life? It's like a mist. that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. The third thing that Paul says I must do is what he said, I will strain toward what is ahead. I'll put every effort that I am able to do, every strength of the mind that I have, focusing on that goal with my mind, and then using my body to accomplish that goal. See, in 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, or I should say the 9th chapter, here's what the Apostle Paul had stated, because he used the games or he used sports as a means of showing forth what you must do in regard to being faithful to the one who has called you and has given you eternal life, or will give you eternal life. He says in chapter 9, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives that prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games will exercise self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable, you know, regular wreath rather, but we want an imperishable one. Therefore, he says, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. But I beat myself, or I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Paul says, I'm going to press forward, I'm going to strain, I'm going to give every effort that I know how toward what is ahead of me, the high calling of the purpose of Jesus Christ, as stated in Philippians 3. I'll beat up my body just so that my body will be in contention at all times while I run this race. I'll also look at this, in which it says in Jude, the 3rd verse, beloved, while I was writing to you regarding our common salvation, you know, then he says this, I want you to contend earnestly for the faith once for all. Okay. The contention for the race, or contention earnestly for the faith that was delivered once for all. That's what Jude said to the Christians. They were in danger in regard to being surrounded by so much false teachings and false philosophies and traditions. That Jude had said, in order to combat that, I want you to fight earnestly for the faith and not let these philosophies and traditions of men, you know, deter you from contending to the faith. In 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, this is what the Apostle Paul wrote as he wrote about the resurrection in chapter 15. And it had stated in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, you be steadfast, you be immovable, and you be always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain with the Lord. And then when I read in Hebrews, the 6th chapter again, in trying to get these Hebrew Christians to be faithful again, because they were drifting. They were neglecting their salvation. That's what they were doing. And so when I look at Hebrews, the 6th chapter, this is what the apostle, the Hebrew writer had stated. And he said this, we desire that each one of you would show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end. And then in verse 11, it says this, so that, verse 12, you will not be sluggish. I want you to show the same diligence and not be sluggish. You do that, and you receive the crown of eternal life. When Paul wrote the Roman letter, speaking about the Jewish that fell away, and speaking about the righteousness of God to both Jews and Greeks, he had told them in regard to their life as to when you will get eternal life. And so he said this in Romans, the 2nd chapter. I read in verse 7. He says, who to those by perseverance in doing good work, I want you to seek for glory, honor, immortality, and then eternal life. It'll take effort on your part. It'll take effort on my part. I got to strain forward to the goal that was set before me. I got to keep on going. You know how hard it is once you stop and try to get up again and go. But if you keep on moving, it's easier to accomplish what God wants you to do. It's when you try to take a stop and you rest, you know, just for the sake of resting and pausing, it's harder to come back again. Yeah. So those are your three things in which the Apostle Paul had stated on pressing toward the goal of the high calling of Jesus Christ. One, I need to have full focus on the goal set before me. I must have a singleness of purpose, no distractions, nothing to look at the right or look at the left. I will have to maintain, like Joshua was told, you stay on that path. Don't look at your right, don't look at your left, and you'll be successful and you'll be prosperous. That's what Moses, or that's what Joshua was told. I need to forget what is behind and look at forward as to what you will accomplish this year. Don't look back. I need to strain and exert and give every effort that I know how to win this race that I'm running now on behalf of God and looking at the goal at Jesus Christ. So that's your three. You know, follow it. Follow the advice, admonition of the Apostle Paul. And like the Apostle Paul says, because I've done these things, kept the faith, finished the course, huh? Fight the good fight. What's happening now? There's a crown of life waiting for me. And that's what we want all of us to have, that crown of life when I cross the finish line. Extend the invitation to all of you. You know, those may be subject to the invitation. Regarding your beginning of this year, enrolling as a citizen, becoming a member of the Lord's church, a citizen of the kingdom of Christ, that you would believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and that you would turn away from the distractions of the world, the sins of the world, and then make that commitment of enrolling in the race by being baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Then let's run and let's contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered. We stand and sing this song.